Welcome to John Wayne Lied to You, the storytelling podcast featuring me. Tee-hee-hee. It's John Wayne. That's right. Here I am back in Wayne Manor, tucked away in the East Wing in the Library of Evil, where I reside mostly, and, you know, create evil things. No, or not, you know, not evil, nefarious, whatever. You know me. I'm John Wayne. I'm here. Thank you guys for joining me for another week of good fun times and all that kind of stuff. It's been a pretty good week. I'll let you know right away, right up top. Grandpappy's medicine in full effect, guys. I got a new fresh crop, if you will, from the Grandpappy farm and Grandpappy and Sons. And I waited a little bit before I was gonna start the podcast, and I had my bowl all loaded, and then I ended up smoking it all before I started, and then I had to load another one, and we got a couple pulls on that, ready to go. Coffee is loaded, Topo Chico is here, and you know, I'll see you guys at the end, as the Sauce used to say in Letters to Voltron. The Sauce, our drummer, would say, see you at the end. And that's a real inside joke. Sorry about that, but I'll see you guys at the end. Anyway, awesome. This has been a very, very cool a week. I'll talk about that. But first, man, what am I doing? off the top, I want to give shouts out to all my Patreon supporters. Thank you guys so much for everything. I shouted everyone out last week. If you'd like to be a part of my Patreon and support old Uncle Johnny here as he slings it across the country, go to patreon.com/JohnWayneIsDead, and you can join one of the tiers, get a bunch of cool shit, and also access to the weekly other podcast I do called John Wayne, Awesome Dude for Life Boner Bonus Podcast, where I talk to people that I talk about, and then I've talked about meeting on this show. And I've been dropping little, you know, portions of some of the interviews in lately to just kind of tease them. And I'm going to do that this week as well, a little bit later on with what I got going on. But if you want to check it out and get that podcast, you get all kinds of stuff and my undying love. And I appreciate it so much. So patreon.com/JohnWayneIsDead. This week we had... You know, first of all, everything's going good. I've been working on some stories that I need to finish for some anthologies. You know, I've really been, I think I talked about this last week, chomping at the bit to get out there, get on the road, you know, start doing my thing. And, you know, I feel like I've just been idle. And it's not bad because, I know I need, it helps you to rest and recharge and stuff, but... I've been ready, I feel, to go now. So I just feel like I've just been like, let's get it going, man. Come on. And I've been trying to fight that or refute that feeling by just working on things constantly, keep my head down and work. I just was like, honestly, like, you know what? I just got to keep doing it. Something will come up. Something will come. The universe will take care of me in some way. So that was like my attitude going into the week. This week starting. Excuse me, nice sip of coffee. Sip of Joe there. But so early in the week, we had the Neo Benchy show. So that's a show that I host. I've talked about it a bunch at the Secret Group. Alternative cinema event where performers take some bit of video that they've chopped together and edited in however they like, up to 6 minutes long, and then they perform their rewritten dialogue live. On stage in front of everybody and God and country. And we've been having some difficulties with the show lately. I've talked about it on here. Just like people canceling, things that are just getting, I don't know, like a lot of things have come up with everyone and the producers of the show. It just, we're all very busy. And so this week was like kind of like, same shit, different day. We're like, fuck, man, you know, I guess we are down to like, we had some people cancel day of, so we had three people performing. We were gonna use an old Frank sketch and whatnot because Andrew Love was under the weather this past week and a half, so he couldn't come over to record anything new as we had planned. So we were going to do that, but then we ended up just scrapping it and not even doing anything. Luckily, we had talked someone into improving one, and which it went well. And I have to say that, like, I was pretty relaxed, and I was like, whatever, I'm just going out there and hosting my little heart out. And I felt like that was, I felt very comfortable. The crowd was decent, and all of the performances were really good, despite how few there were. We made the show free, so, you know, we didn't charge for it because it was short, and we started kind of late. But it felt good. It felt like it flowed a little bit better. I don't know. I don't know why, but I think, you know, we're going to make some changes to it moving forward. I don't know if it's going to be monthly anymore. It might be quarterly. I think that the Frank and John Wayne dynamic might go away, but never fear, if those Frank fans out there. We are actually going to continue writing and recording those videos, videoing those sketches with me talking to Frank, but we're going to move it to a YouTube channel where it will be its own thing, with its own kind of storyline going on. So that's a project that we are actually going to start working on, the three of us, me and Nick and Andrew, this week. I'm just dropping the knowledge bomb on you. Woo! Hot goss in the hotness. So you know, and I think that's probably the right thing at this point. I'm not upset about it. If it's it maybe takes less. You know, it doesn't. It takes less focus away from the performances, which that's what the show's all about. And I think sometimes it can be jarring to the audience to jump back and forth in those worlds. So I don't know. We'll see. But you know, that was kind of how the week started off. But I felt better just going out and kind of getting out in the mix again, and not only performing, but you know, talking to people and being out, because I hadn't really gone out, you know, for a little while. I've just kind of been staying at home, writing, trying to save money and get ready to go out and all this kind of stuff. And go out on the road and just kind of, I don't know, being down, I guess, and bummed too, just like, because I'm not out there. And so despite how the show kind of started and all the weird energy that had to go with that, the show itself went well. And then afterwards, you know, I hung out in my favorite place, the Green Room at the Secret Group, had a you know, very good conversation with some people about the show. And then I met some comics and talked to them, and then I had to, you know, Batman my way, French exit out of there, and all that. But I feel really good, you know, about the time. And and then Wednesday, which would be our normal day to work on the Neo Benchy Frank stuff, Nick and I just got together and actually started coming up with this collaborative project. So look out for that. It's very exciting. I mean, the basis of it is would be like a kind of magazine type product that we would have at my tables everywhere we go, and use it basically as a means for gas money. We want to use it to, like, you know, this helps us get to this and that if we sell X amount of magazine. I don't know. We have a lot of ideas. It's very exciting. I'm excited. I took a bunch of stuff down, a bunch of notes. We rattled off that, and we kind of kicked that around for a couple of hours. And it was really, it was cool. I think we got a lot of good seeds and nuggets of ideas to bring this together. So that was another cool, like, thing. Like, that was another for me, like, just to kind of bring my energy back up and be like, okay, this is cool too. You know, we're gonna, you know, create something new. And you know, we talked about the, you know, the YouTube channel thing, and it was all cool. And then on Thursday, no, it was a normal day, whatever. But when I woke up on Friday morning, I had a message from my friend Jessica, who is one of the runners of the Thorn and Moon Magical Market here in Houston, which is, talked about it before, one of my absolutely favorite pop-up markets. It's like a goth farmer's market. It's at Avant Garden every month here in Houston. It's like the first Friday of every month. And I had a couple weeks back, actually, like, messaged Jessica to see if there's any openings, and there wasn't for this one in March. And I was like, all right, cool. She's like, well, I'll put you on the one in April. And I was like, awesome, good, that'll work. Well, she had messaged me sometime like in the evening when I was already in my slumber. But basically someone had dropped out, like a last minute cancellation. And she asked if, you know, if I still wanted a table that was mine. And I was like, holy shit. So it was like, you know, 7 a.m. I'm like, yes, I would like that table, please, on the day of the event. And that's kind of what I was talking about at the beginning of the podcast when I started this ramble about, you know, I've talked about it before, but it's like when you see a concrete example, it's really validating or I don't know. But when I talk about doing the work and then the universe will take care of you when you need it to some, you know, step in like that. And I needed that night. I was like, yes, yes, I needed it for a lot of reasons. I needed it for to make some cash. Sure, that was a reason, but I needed it also for the connection with people, for the interacting in that energy that's created when, you know, by the whole, you know, event that's going on. I needed to be out there, and you know, I was by myself for the night. I didn't have anybody helping me at my table. You know, my buddy Zach showed up for a few to hang out and just chat with me. You know, we chatted between people when I wasn't doing stuff. Shouts out Zach, Roy forever. And that was nice, but I was by myself, and that was good. It was like, I'm not going to bear the lead. It was super busy, which was great, but also glad I didn't have anybody with me. As hard as it was, it got some points where I was like, you know, I kind of was like, ah, man, if somebody was, I wish somebody was here just to ring this through while I sign these books and stuff. Believe me, it's a good problem to have, to be busy at your table. But, you know, and I even talked about it after the fact, but thinking on it, I'm like, you know, that was even better, because it really allowed me to fully engage, like, and be, get this energy out and take this other energy in. I don't know what it was, but, of course I know what it was. I just said it, but I needed all of the aspects of actually doing that night. And then, you know, I far surpassed my goal. Like what I beforehand, you know, I write down my goal. This is what I would like to do today, Mr. Goal Man. And I far surpassed it. It was really, really good. And I met a lot of cool ass people who bought books, and, we talked about horror and like stuff like that, different movies and other writers in horror. It was awesome. So if you're just checking out the podcast, and I met you here at Thorn and Moon a couple nights ago, thank you. Thank you for checking it out. And I will actually, and if you're in Houston and you're listening, you're like, what is this Thorn and Moon magical market you speak of? Well, it is the first Friday of every month at Avant Garden, which is in the Montrose area on Westheimer. And then I will be on the one this April as well. But it happens, like I said, the first Friday of every month, and it's killer awesome. So you should definitely go check it out anytime you can. But yeah, that was just I was loading up my car to leave, and I was like, man, that was exactly what it needed to be. And that was a good feeling. Like, man, that really took care of, like, checked off some boxes for me that needed to be, you know, needed to be done sooner than later. So, you know, if that makes sense. So it was great. That was a very cool last thing to happen this week, and I needed it. And then, of course, Saturday, shouts out to Twee, titties be looking right, hashtag. Her birthday party was yesterday afternoon. Was over there at the party location. She made a whole basically like smorgasbord layout of food for everyone. She had this whole banh mi making station, which had everything, like the pork, the veggies, the peppers, like everything. If you don't know what a banh mi is, it's like a Vietnamese sandwich on a roll, and they're so fucking good. And she had them all, you know. It was awesome. It was a great party. I drank a lot of beer, but you know, that's what you got to do on somebody's birthday. So shouts out Twee. And then, you know, Hey, here we go, back again. Check up, parek up, let's begin. That was awful. But yeah, now here I am, back in the Library of Evil, energized, fully feeling, I feel very good. I'm very stoked. Oh, I finished, also, you know, to start off, I'm sorry, to even like, probably started the ball rolling was like Sunday night of last week. I finished a logo that I was commissioned to draw for a friend of mine. I don't know if I'm sure he doesn't mind. Russell Holbrook, but shouts out, dude. You know, whenever he wants to release that, that's cool. But that was really fun to create that and him, you know, taking his notes and putting them into it and it'd be like, yes, this is exactly what I want. Like, I think that was, I forgot to mention that as maybe a catalyst at the end of last week, taking me into Monday that helped, you know, help me to get boosted back up where I needed to be. So what a time. What a time. Speaking of what a time, I think I'll get right into our 3-card tarot reading this week. Ooh la la. As you know or do not know, I do a 3-card tarot reading on myself before each show. And I just kind of write down my thoughts, what's going on with me that week, and I look at those thoughts back through what the cards are saying or represent, if you will. And also, and if you're into this, I do this every day on my Instagram. I do a card of the day thing that's on my Instagram story, at John Wayne is dead. And I just pick a card every day and talk about what it means and try to relate it to myself while making it a little bit generalized for everybody. But if you want to check that out, and then it goes right up to my YouTube page, the John Wayne is Dead YouTube channel. Man, this is good weed, guys. Thank you, everyone. So today when I was getting ready for the show, the thoughts I wrote down were focus. Always, you know, maintaining focus, you know, making sure I'm not slipping in that department. Decision making, again, like there's a lot of things I got to decide on. There's a lot of stuff I got to, you know, be smart about. And then I put smart financial choices, trusting the universe, which is what I talked about. Continuing to keep that kind of attitude and focus of just like, well, fuck, I'm just going to work through this, you know, and keep going. Planning and keeping that continuous drive, always like alive, going, you know, not that I'm feeling not driven, but this is something that I've talked about it before. Some of these things are aspects that you can easily slip in, you know, and I'm speaking for myself. You got a lot of things going on, and some of these things I recognize as of like, okay, these are things I do not want to lose an edge on. And sometimes you've got to just be mindful and actually focus on those things. Like, hey, am I, check in with those things, I guess, and be like, hey, am I slipping? Is this good? Yeah. Okay. Or address it. So that's what I mean by a lot of these things. So anyway, first card I got, the Two of Swords reverse. Now, this is, again, this reading, I think it was last week as well, maybe not though, but all of the cards in this reading are actually reversed. It's like a full reversey, as some would say. Okay, Two of Swords reversed. So this is a card of indecision, confusion, information overload, and a stalemate. So this says you may be having to make a hard decision right now, where whatever the choice is, it's going to lead to negative consequences on both ends. And because of that, you feel stuck in this decision. You can't move forward. But doing that makes it worse. Not addressing it or not making the decision that you need to make, just it always makes it worse. And this card, like, definitely is emphasizing that in this aspect. You may feel closed off to information or alternative solutions that could help you. In that, what I mean is, like, you to make this decision, you may be either closing yourself off, like blinders, I'm not looking at this, or are just unaware of how to access some information that could be helping you. Either way, And you're, or on the inverse of that, you just got overload of information. So you either have like too little information and don't know where to get it, or you've got so much information that that is clouding your judgment. You have to sift through all of this bullshit. So you might need to cut off everything, cut off the outside world, even for like, and when I say something, I'm not like, and hoard yourself up in your home for yon 52-hour weeks or whatever. You know, it could be like 5 minutes. It can be 30 seconds to just of quiet to yourself and listen to what you inside, like what you know the answer is, your subconscious, or dismissing everything. Just what do you want to do? You know, think about it in that way. Also, this, you might be at a stalemate with someone on something as well. And again, this is like kind of what I was saying. You remove the blinder, see it from a different angle. And if you want to move forward, you need to find a compromise on this, regardless of that, if that's where necessarily you wanted it to go. But some things, if you're going to get past them, you might have to give a little, you might have to be the one that says, hey, let's compromise. That it's just going to, as much as it may suck and as easier said than done, it could really help move forward at this time. If you are, also, if you're mediating between two other parties, make sure you're honestly being helpful right now with this. And then I mean in that, you know, sometimes it's easy to get pulled in between people and their drama, especially when you have friends, you know, they're both your friends. Maybe it's a relationship or a infighting in a friend crowd or something like that, or a work fucking thing. And you just find yourself as this go-between, you know, after you thought you were going to be the mediator and say like, well, this and that, and well, but now you're just this go-between for basically to pass off like, and then he said, fuck you, and then fuck him and fuck you. So if that kind of thing is happening, if that's what your role is taking, it may be, you might need to pull out of this entire situation, get yourself out from it, because you're not helping even though you want to help. And I know we've all been there. That's, you know, I talk about these things, I'm relating them to my experiences, and you just have to know, as the great gambler said, Kenny Rogers, that's damn good chicken. But he also said you got to know when to hold them and fold them. Man, these pauses that I'm taking, I'm taking a drink, but it also helps me. It makes me think of like if I were saying these jokes on stage or something, and I'm pausing for the laughter that just doesn't come. And I'm just like, take a drink. All right, on to the next one. But seriously, though, on to the next one. Queen of Wands is our next card. Of course, as I said, reversed. And this Queen of Wands reversed is a card of self-respect, self-confidence, maybe you a little introvertedness, and a reestablishment of your sense of self. So when this card is reversed, you're someone who has a lot of self-respect and confidence. You know what you stand for. You're not easily swayed. And you have a clear definition of what success means to you. And I think that's important. I say that a lot in sometimes when I'm, you know, writing down my thoughts for this, or just like even I'm journaling, I'm like, I have to, and I talk to other authors and other artists that I've like on the road, particularly, it's like, what does success look like to you or to me? You know, it's all different across the board. You know, it really truly is, whether you're measuring it by, you know, from a sales standpoint or a unit's sale point standpoint or a fucking contact standpoint, however you're looking at it, success is different for everybody, especially on this kind of you know, wild world of the arts out there in the wild, wild west. Success is very different, and different for everybody. But if you, when you know, when you have clearly defined success for yourself, and and have that really helps, I think, a lot, to put a lot of things in perspective, and helps you helps you, I don't know, it's a establishes that confidence, like this is saying. You may be introverted right now, more introverted than usual. Maybe that's not how you are. And it says don't push yourself to be out there or be extroverted right now. If you don't want to be out there, you don't have to. You use the time alone to connect, again, with your inner voice like we talked about. I got to blow this candle out. It's freaking me out. Okay. Yeah, but you know, I've talked about this before. Sometimes it's just, I love to be out there and talking and having a good time. But you know what? I love to be in my house all day and stay in the Library of Evil and write and read and take a nap and smoke weed and not see anybody for a 24-hour period as well. And sometimes that's cool. And you do get things done. You do kind of recharge yourself and connect with yourself. But as I've said before with other cards, when you do these kind of things, make sure you're using, like, have good communication with you know, your friends. You're not making it look like you're just blowing everyone off or cutting people out. You just kind of, you know, communicate, yeah, I need to chill this week to myself, you know, or put it out there, or, you know, just make sure you're communicating, I think, with these kind of things. This is, if your confidence is starting to lack, again, draw attention inward, focus on rebuilding and your resilience, and access your personal strengths and talents. So go back. This is basically saying go back to the, you know, the drawing board a little bit. If you're out there and you're starting to waver in your confidence, maybe you've taken a couple blows, or you come up against some obstacles, you know, it go definitely then step out for a minute, you know, build yourself back up, you know, feed your soul or whatever it is you need to do, and get back out there. And, you know, reconnect with those personal strengths. Like, yes, I am good at this. This is what, because I do this. This is my talent because this is what I do. And sometimes you need that a little bit, and you can go back out there and be like, yeah, Mick, I'm going to do it for you. Yeah, I'm punchy. I'm not punchy. You're punchy. Man, I'm going to take a drink right there because no one would laugh either if that was on stage. Yeah, it feels right. Feels right. Oh, shit. Okay, and the last card of this reading, the Devil Reversed. So, crazy. So the Devil Reversed is a card of releasing limited beliefs, exploring your dark thoughts, and detachment. So, this, when the Devil is reversed, it's saying you may be on the verge of a breakthrough. Whatever it may be, it can be an idea, whatever you're working on, a breakthrough with somebody, breakthrough in your career, personal growth, but you know, you've let go of the fear and the self-imposed limiting beliefs that have been what have stood in your way right now, that's what you need to do to get the break, to continue through the breakthrough. If you're on that verge, or you have broken through it, but that's how you did it. I say let go of fear all the time. I can't reiterate that enough. Fear is this number one stopper of things, but then self-imposed limiting beliefs too, where you're that's the I can'ts, you know, I can't do that. Yeah you can, come on. This card says that you confront your inner fears and anxieties, eliminate things that are harmful to you and your inner psyche, bring about positive change by staying focused on your ultimate goal. This is like a kind of what I was saying, like at the top of the reading, where I just want to check in with some things and be like, am I fucking up with that? That's kind of like this, where I look at this in the same way. Confront inner fears, like take a moment, like some time out to say, like, man, what is making me anxious right now? Like, what is giving me anxiety? And pinpoint that and do what it is to eliminate that and be like, okay, how can I eliminate this anxiety? It could be an easy fix. It could be as easy as not procrastinating things, you know, like call out, like for me, what gives me anxiety is making sure I booked like hotels for places. And sometimes it makes me so anxious, I just still just put it off to the last minute. And if, you know, for instance, for me, I look at that and be like, well, just book it right away when you think about it. No matter what you're doing, just book it, and then you won't have anxiety over it later. And I'm sure, you know, after this, I'll have all kinds of ways to fight myself in my head about why I shouldn't do that or not do it. But that's an example. See, I'm breaking through right now. Yeah, but moving those things that are harmful to you, and that way, like you realize you can see that, okay, I am bringing about the positive change. You know, I'm going to stay focused on my ultimate goal by removing the things that are giving me these anxieties and these fears. Yeah. So, and also this card is saying you may be hiding your deepest, darkest self from those around you. Ooh, holding secrets can contribute to guilt. So share them with a trusting individual, accept who you are and forgive yourself. So the basis of that is saying, you know, you might be into some shit that your friends or those around you think that they would think you're a weirdo about, or maybe you just have some, you know, beliefs that you're afraid to share with somebody, your friends, because you think they'll think you're a weirdo. You know, it doesn't necessarily, when it says deepest, darkest self, it doesn't necessarily mean like, you know, and then I want to kill everybody, really. You know, it can mean that shit for sure, because it also talks about confronting like these parts of your shadow self or your darker, you know, self, and either dismantling those aspects of yourself or finding a way to incorporate them into your total self in a positive way where it balances somehow. So that was like, that's what a lot of this is about. But it's, you know, the whole contribute to guilt. Like what I take from this is, you know, don't be afraid to share things or think that people are going to think you're stupid or dumb. That's the way I'm looking at it right now, because, you know, accept who you are, forgive yourself if you fuck up, or if you do say something that maybe you offended somebody without meaning, or whatever, you may be like, ah, shit, I didn't mean that. So, yeah. And then also practice detachment from restrictions. So whatever's restricting you from, like I said, moving forward or growing, take a look at those things and practice a way to detach yourself, detach those things from your life so they're not restricting you from growing, which is really what it's all about. And that's it. And that's that. That's our reading for this week. I got something good out of that. I hope you did too. If you're into that kind of stuff, like as I said, daily on my Instagram story, I do a card of the day reading. At John Wayne is Dead is where you find it. And then it goes right to the John Wayne is Dead YouTube channel. So moving right along, as I mentioned earlier, I've been dropping in some excerpts from my Patreon podcast, the Awesome Dude for Life Boner Bonus Podcast, and I'm going to do that again this week. My latest interview conversation that went up just this past week on my Patreon was with a very good friend of mine, comedian and tattoo artist Gavin Burr. We sat down in the green room of the Secret Group before the Neo Benchy Show, as I said, my favorite place to be a lot of times, and had a good talk before the show, and talked about comedy, we talked about art, talked about the Secret Group, our comedy club in general, and how all that kind of stuff comes up, and I'm going to play a little bit of it right here for you. If you want to hear the whole interview and a bunch of other ones and get some shit, go over to patreon.com/JohnWayneIsDead. Any tier you jump on gets you this podcast plus other stuff. So without further ado, here I am with Mr. Gavin Burr.
Editing's a thing.
No, I'm not. I don't edit these.
Oh, word!
I like the. This is how it is, man. This is how it is.
Yeah.
So 3 years.
3 years. 3 years. It's been okay. I'm not very good at it, but I like to talk. I talk too much on occasion. So I like to force people to listen to me talk until I'm done.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. I'm arrogant and I expect you to want to listen to what I have to say.
I admire that confidence and that arrogance. What kind of style is your comedy? I know that's the same kind of question, but yeah. Like, what's your band sound like, dude? What's your favorite book? But I mean, I guess, who are your influences in comedy?
Yeah,
who do you like? Who do you draw joy from in comedy?
My favorite comics of all time is Mitch Hedberg and Mark Maron.
Yeah, awesome.
Because from my own like humor point of view, I just like to either get way too angry about a rant, which is, you know, what Marc Maron's known for, or I like to delve into absurdisms.
Lock the gates! Isn't that what Marc Maron says in that movie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He does. He says that. But also, it's one of those things, like, when you decide to pick up...
Are you performing tonight in New Adventure?
I mean, I was supposed to, but I don't think... Okay. I have not prepared one.
Okay. Yeah. Keep going. I'm sorry. I just have... guys, this is how things happen. Yeah, this is, man, live in the
rough
moment. We are in the green... We're in the belly of the beast, the show. I mean, this is like... You got to answer these messages when they come through sometimes. Very unprofessional.
Yeah.
But also... professional.
Yeah, you're professional to one and unprofessional to the other.
Yeah, no,
duality.
So the Marc Maron rants.
Yeah, I like going, like, when I like having my influences, you end up trying to like sound like your influences, and you can't really force your voice. So I discovered that, like, that's not exactly what I do. Because I tried it for like the first like year and a half, like I tried to force what I wanted to do, and that's not what kind of comic I am. So as much as I love those types, I keep the absurdisms. Like, basically what I end up doing is I tell, you know, very like drastically morose or dark stories where I'm the bad guy in it, because it's funnier to me, and then I chop that up with absurd one-liners.
You like to play the part of the heel, is what,
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah.
See, and so I guess comment on that, it's like, you know, when you start almost in anything in the arts, like your first band, for instance,
yeah,
you know, that it's always going to sound like
you're going to do covers.
Going to sound like whoever, even your originals, you know. Back when I was in one of my first bands, it was like, you know, oh, we sound like Korn, you know, like, or whatever we were trying to do. We were just drawing those influences, and you know, you're just starting. You're trying to find your voice, and I think that's part of the journey. Now, one-liners are hard. So how much would you say in a set do you just straight one-liners?
Like in like a run of the mill like 10-minute set, I probably will do like 4 or 5.
Okay.
And if you count like the ones that are almost anti humor, as in, you know, without a definable punchline, just something like the only reason they're laughing is because they didn't expect it, and it kind of makes sense. That's it. It's like, yeah, it was weird, and it doesn't go with what you were saying, and I like to do that because it breaks up the monotony, because I do tend to be monotone on stage, and there's a lot of very similar threads throughout my longer jokes, so like chopping it up with really weird off-the-wall stuff seems to work out pretty well and keeps me like personable.
Now, so with like Mitch Hedberg's one-liners were like, it was all non sequitur.
Yeah.
He was just boom, boom, boom. He was T-ski. He was frozen banana. Like, it didn't have to necessarily tie together at all. Now, do yours tie together into the,
usually
the theme?
Not.
Are you calling back, or is you just like out of nowhere you throw a one-liner in there?
Yeah. Like I have groups of them. So like I will write a couple of like, you know, I've got like 10 little like quick music themed ones. I've got some about animals, but like I don't do a lot of them. Like I'll maybe do like one or two from like the groups of these, you know, non sequiturs that I've written, just because like I don't want it to be similar to the longer bits that I'm currently doing that you're hearing, because I don't want those to seem like I'm tagging, because like I do tag. So when I'm not tagging, I don't want you to think I'm tagging. That's basically it.
Very mysterious, dude. All right, there you go, Mr. Gavin Burr of The Secret Group, comedian, tattoo artist. Check him out on his Facebook, Gavin Burr, and then if you want to hear more of this interview and other ones, like I said, patreon.com/JohnWayneIsDead. Any tier gets you this podcast for every week and all the back episodes. So, moving right along to our story portion of the show. last week, I told a story of... about tennis shoes, about some buying some Jordans from back in the day, and trying to cheat by and hope cheap out, hoping that I'd get the money from my dad rather than saving the money. You can check it out, listen to it. I got some good responses from people who thought it was funny, could relate. And it made me think of another time, a similar situation that happened to me, where it had to do with a video game system and cheaping out a little bit. So I believe I will call this one The Great TurboGrafx-16 Debacle. So, for those of you who do not know, a TurboGrafx-16 was a video game console that came out late 80s, early 90s. It was very short-lived in the United States. I understand from doing a little bit of research that the Japanese version did do quite a bit better, but they also released it at a better time over there. Excuse me. And we'll get into that. But anyway, the TurboGrafx-16 was it boasted the first 16-bit video game home console, although it really used a modified 8-bit processor, apparently. Now, back when this was happening, and also what was really cool about this fucking fucking system, where the games were on cards, looked like a credit card or a credit card sized SD card, I guess, for your computer. Like, if you want to think about it like that, disc type thing. It was like, no, it was a card, man, not even a disc, like a plastic fucking card. It was really cool. So that was all the game was. But you would see these commercials. I remember seeing commercials for it, and it looked just fucking really cool to me. I was used to playing the NES. You know, I've told this my story on here about how I got the NES and my mom lied all about it. Shouts out, Mom. And I pulled the wool over my eyes, but I was a sneaky sneak in the end and turned it all around on everyone. But, you know, you had that for a while, but then when they bring out, you know, first thing, Sega Genesis comes out, that's the 16-bit console with, you're like, whoa, holy shit, what's happening here? And then before the Super Nintendo came out, I believe they dropped this thing called the TurboGrafx-16, and that's what was fucked up about it, was it came out pre both systems in Japan, the Sega and the Nintendo, Genesis and Super Nintendo, but here it came out right in the middle of the when they both came out and kind of got buried, which it probably deserved to. But maybe not. I don't know. I couldn't even say I gave it a fair got a chance to give it a fair shake. But when it first came out, it was like every other console is, adjusted for inflation to today or whatever. But they're always super expensive when they come out, you know. And this one was no exception. I can't remember exactly how much, you know. Don't quote me on this, but for me at the time, it was probably, I remember something, maybe like $250. And I remember seeing it at Toys R Us, because they would have display versions of things set up, and they would, you know, have all the stuff behind glass locked up at some time. I don't know if, I guess Toys R Us still sold video games at the end of them being open. I'm not sure. But I would always look at it. And the thing that really captured my imagination about this game system was a game called Splatterhouse. So if you're like a horror fan, or you know, you may know this name because they've made many sequels to it that have been on other console systems. But this was the first system to have it, like, in the US before they brought it out on Genesis, before they made one for Super Nintendo. And it was, if you don't know what this game is, basically it's like a horror side-scrolling kind of beat-em-up game, where you play this dude who's looks like a beefed up Jason Voorhees, but his mask is like red and black, or purple and black, and the guy, it looks like Jason on steroids with a fucked up mask, but he walks around like these crazy places and like hits shit with a 2x4 on the way to try to save his girlfriend because he's dead and the mask brought him back. But it was like one of the first horror games that I ever saw. And I remember thinking it was really fucking cool. But it was also like, not only was the TurboGrafx is expensive, but that game was super expensive too. But I wanted it, man. So at one point, I was like, God, that would be so cool to have that game. So you flash forward a little bit. You know, the Sega Genesis comes out. Some of my friends get that. One of my good friends had that. Shouts out, Jonathan. And then the Super Nintendo came out. And then that just, like, you didn't even see anything. It was like TurboGrafx who? You know, basically it all went away. But I still would see it at the store sometimes, or at Walmart when my mom would take me and stuff. And I saw the price just go down and down and down and down and down, until it was under $100 at the Toys R Us. And I know, again, like I said last time, you know, there was no internet, or, you know, couldn't look up on Twitter where sale was, or just like search it, buy it online. I think it was advertised in like the Sunday papers, like Toys R Us circular in there, and it showed like, you know, $69.99 TurboGrafx 16, including Bonk's Adventure, because that was their like Sonic or Mario game. It was this caveman with a huge fucking head that he just hit shit with, and they had a few sequels of that as well, like Bonk's Revenge and something else. So I was like, holy shit, I want this. And I, you know, the writing was on the wall. You go, you see everything getting cheaper and cheaper, and then pulling like stock of things to move like more for Nintendo or for Genesis. And even at the time, I knew that, but I was like, man, but then I can get these games, they'll be cheap, and I'd have a bunch of games, and I can buy Splatterhouse eventually. And so I got the, you know, I got my dad to take me to Toys R Us. I did have enough money for the TurboGrafx 16, and I bought it, purchased it. This was pre-Jordan situation, by the way, as well. And if you listen to last week's episode, and I took it home, and I remember, you know, my one friend Jonathan that had Sega and Super Nintendo, I took it to his house and we set it up and played Bonk for a while, and it was cool, and it was a cool ass game. But like, that was the only game I had, and getting the games was getting increasingly harder as the weeks went on, and it wasn't like I was punching a clock at a job and I could like, oh, well, I'll just stop by the old Toys R Us on the way home and pick up a handful of TurboGrafx cards. It wasn't anything like that. I had to, you know, it was a whole thing. You got to go, you got to get a ride, you got to save up your allowance. And eventually when I, you know, this is where, you know, you learn these lessons as a kid, you fuck up. I had X amount of money, right? I don't know what it was. Maybe let's say I had $40. Now that's even a lot. Let's say I had $30, and I went to go, and I wanted to buy Splatterhouse, but it was $50. So instead of going home and being like, okay, I'll save $20 more and come back, I would buy a game that was, you know, $25 and that maybe I didn't even want that much. And that's what I did, because Splatterhouse was still like fucking more expensive than even the rest of the games, because it was rad, I guess. And then it just kept getting in, you know, short supply. So I can't even remember what the game I bought was. I tried to convince myself that it was cool. I think it was some space game. It was lame. It was fucking lame. But, you know, I'm at home playing it and like showing my friends like, that's cool, huh? Look at this. Pretty fucking cool. Meanwhile, I'm hating myself, like, God, why'd I do that, idiot? And then, and you know what? And the classic, I don't even think I need to tell you guys this. By the time I went back to get Splatterhouse was gone. And it was just like tumbleweeds in the whole TurboGrafx 16 section. And again, I couldn't just turn to the internet and buy a fucking truckload off eBay from some nerd somewhere in, you know, Idaho or whatever. You know, you couldn't go to a GameStop, and there just, none of that existed. So it was just like, wow, I really learned a lesson. Like I couldn't get any games for it anymore. The game that I had, I hated. The other game, Bonk, I beat a billion times, and it just was, it was a poor decision all around, you know? So, it's just, you save your money sometimes and save up for the real thing you want, because, you know, like last week, your daddy's not always going to be there to chip in the rest for Jordans, and sometimes, you know, it's just worth the wait, or you end up with you know, inferior game station, gaming system, and, you know, without the game that inspired you to buy the system itself, and then you feel like a dummy. But as an adult, if I could find that a TurboGrafx and Splatterhouse for reasonably priced, I would probably buy them today. All right, there you go, that TurboGrafx 16. Oh, man. I would get another one today if they were super cheap. I don't know. Maybe they are. Maybe, but who knows? With things these days, some people are like, oh, it's so hard to get. $1 billion. But it's still just as lame as it was anyway. I don't want to get into it. But anyway, there's our story. Thank you guys for tuning into another week of adventures. If you're new to the podcast, I appreciate you joining us and checking it out and checking out all of the things that I do. You can go to johnwayneisdead.com for all of your John Wayne needs. I'm sorry, that sounds stupid. But my store is there and you can buy all of my books as well as the John Wayne is Dead records, the new tentacle skull bookmark that's out, the metal one, almost gone. I think I have close to just 20 left. So once those are gone, they're gone. So if you're interested in that, go over to the shop page. The John Wayne said records are there, t-shirts are there, and everything comes from me. So I will sign them and give you some extra goodies in there. But also all of my books are on Amazon and Kindle or from the publisher's websites or my own website as well, like I just fucking said. Also, go to the shows page at johnwayneisdead.com to see where I'll be next. I'm going to be in Las Vegas in a couple weeks here, boys and girls, so hopefully a fucking coronavirus doesn't fuck everything up. Yeah, so start washing your hands, people. I gotta go out there and slink books. But check the shows page for any updates and additions as they happen. And yeah, and if you like my card of the day readings, like I said, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Wayne is Dead. Those are added to my story and my YouTube channel every week. And if you want to throw a little change my way, go to patreon.com/John Wayne is Dead, and you will get some goodies and a new podcast with me and people every week. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it, and I will see you next week.